Welcome back, everyone, to our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. Mike Mills here along with Doc Turner. This week, we are tackling episode 12 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling from April 18th, 1992. We're in the same venue as last week, the Hancock County High School Gym, East Tennessee. Remember what Doc said? There evidently are 6,000 people in the county of this county, or Hancock County. Shit, I can't even get it out. Doc, what's going on, man? You ready to rock and roll with some Smoky Mountain wrestling?
Man, I got to tell you something. People out there, Mike and I deal with a lot of saps and marks and idiots throughout the week in our daily travels.
Shut up. Stop saying Mark. Stop saying Mark.
In our daily travels, just people with bad customer service, people that can't chew and walk and chew gum at the same time. But I got to tell you, we look forward to this Smoky Mountain. It is our break from the morons that we deal with in our daily life, and it is the best hour of wrestling 24 years later that you'll find anywhere. Let's do this thing.
Okay. Can you please stop calling people marks, please? Well,
they need to stop being marks.
No, you're a mark. How's that sound, asshole? Got it? Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page now. Let's get into this thing. Before we do, we had a listener mention something that it really made me laugh. So we've talked about this whole commercial that they run during the show with the promo of the Civic.
The damn near lynching?
Yeah, well, there's a gentleman on our Facebook page. His name is Don OK on the Facebook page, and he made a comment that it also made me chuckle and laugh. So we talk about the lynching that Riley Arnwine mentioned to us, but do you also realize that we also have, Don pointed this out, there's also Dutch bullwhipping a poor sap with Shoe Baby, his bullwhip, during this same segment. So,
well, they showed this commercial for a long time too. It's not like just get the promotion off the ground. They show this commercial or variations of it for years.
it's so awesome. So that's, well, and you can't blame him. I mean, he was trying to drum up business, right?
Right. You gotta get some cash flow to pay back to Rick Rubin.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so let's kick things off. Another great episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling here. We got Bob Caudle, Dutch Mantel promo opening the show. Caudle runs through the upcoming hour of TV, mentioning the debut of Buddy Landell in a match. Remember, it's been weeks ago, but we did see Buddy in a promo a while back. I mean, it probably was like episode 2 or 3. It's been a while. Let's just say that. So, yeah, we get the Buddy Landell promo. Buddy Landell. And then we got a match with Rock and Roll Robert Gibson that's going to happen too. And more will be found out about Paul Orndorff and his pile driver tirade that he went on last week. And as you recall, Doc, pile driver, he went through about 4 different guys. And it sounds like Bullet Bob isn't happy about this. So Caudle says they'll also have an update on Hector's condition, which I got to chuckle out of that once we get to it. And there's a wild card match with Carl Styles fighting Dixie Dynamite in the main event. Remember, the wild card match means that whoever wins between Styles and Dynamite gets a spot in the Volunteer Slam. Dutch also says as long as Styles follows his explicit instructions that Carl Styles will be in the tournament. Caudle also is still asking Dutch where Styles has been the last 3 to 4 weeks. Doc, any thoughts on the opening segment, or can I continue?
Let's go to the ring.
All right, so we go to the ring. We got Robert Gibson against Rip Rogers. It feels like I haven't seen Rip in a while, but maybe that's just me and just getting
confused. He's probably off somewhere doing squats for an hour.
Maybe so. Rip Rogers, we got Gibson. He comes out, gets a nice ovation from the fans in Hancock County. Gibson gets the rock and roll chance going early on. To me, it's always nice to see Rip working and getting a TV spot because he's just a hell of a performer. And just to circle back, the rock and roll chance. I mean, here we are, 1992. And throughout this match, we're getting rock and roll chance, which I thought is, I don't know. I mean, look, that was beyond Gibson and Morton's prime at that point. But the rock and roll chance were still fluttering through the arenas. So we get to the match. They do some old school stuff in the beginning of the match where, of course, Gibson drops Rip with a few tackles after Rip shoots off Gibson into the ropes. I also like how Gibson, it was real old school. He kept going back to the headlock takeover to take Rip down to the mat. Then Rip would grab Gibson's tights to get a 2 count. Gibson would kick out and continue with the headlock. Caudle in the match says he thinks Gibson has made tremendous progress as a singles wrestler. And Dutch says, yeah, well, I think Rip is the one who's made tremendous progress. The finish
hold
was
on,
kind.
Hold on,
Go ahead,
before we go to the finish, they do the old crisscross there earlier in the match. That man, that was a I don't know why, that was a move I loved when I was a kid, and I remember anytime my dad'd be watching, he'd be like, "Why don't they stop and kick the other guy? That's why this shit's fake."
Well, I guess kind of, sort of, yeah.
But I always loved that when they both would get going and couldn't stop and were crisscrossing each other in the ropes. That was a move that young Doc loved.
Well, that was and if you remember, I could remember some guys doing the crisscross spot, and the baby would stop running and the heel would keep running and then run out of gas and hit the mat. Remember when they used to do that spot? Anyway, so the finish was kind of weird. Rip seems to hit Gibson with the DDT. Cottle says, "Did you see the DDT or did he block it?" Dutch says, "I think he blocked it." Rip gets up and asks the referee, "What was that?" The referee says that was a two count. Gibson gets up and hits Rip with a bulldog, making the cover and getting the 1-2-3. I say it looks a little strange because it was almost too telegraphed. I'm not trying to criticize the guys, but it was like Rip stood there forever waiting for Gibson to come do this bulldog. And as I say that, here's the thing. The fans still ate it up, and they erupted when Gibson got the pin. Doc, did I hear it right when Mantell called Gibson's finish a backfighter?
No, I think what he was saying is that he snuck up on that Gibson snuck up on Rogers to put the bulldog on him, and I didn't know if he said backbiter or backfighter. I don't know.
I couldn't tell either.
I don't know. It was a little weird, a little disjointed at the end, but overall, you know, we usually get a good match to start the show. And this was another one instance of that.
Yeah, it was real good. I enjoyed it. I have no complaints about it. Again, we're watching these and taking notes, so we're looking for things that are just that would captivate. Not only say captivate, but just to point out. So, you know, if you're
we got to talk about something.
Right. So if you're watching this in regular time and you're not really worried about it and taking notes, it's a little different. You don't see certain things. So, anyway, good match. Rip Rogers, always a very talented guy. The match went 5 minutes and 8 seconds, and Gibson gets the pin on Rip. We go to, and again, here's something else too. Rip's not in the tournament.
Gibson's got to win because he's got to keep that momentum high for the Volunteer Slam upcoming.
And, you know, how's your territory doing, Paul? Once again, no 50-50 booking here. So we'll go to the next segment, which is Cottle and Mantell, Bob Cottle and Dutch Mantell recapping. Cottle recaps the interview with Paul Orndorff, Dixie, and Hector that led to the match with Orndorff and Hector. They replay the interview, which I'll play at the end of the episode for you. They also show the end of the match where Orndorff pile drives Hector, Ben Jordan, Reno Riggins, and lastly Joey Maggs, and then he pile drives Hector on the chair. They then transition to Hector.
Hold on. Once again, just to reiterate from the last week's show, man, Orndorff gets good air at that spike pile driver. It looks real good.
Orndorff really did. Those are some nice-looking pile drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to this promo with Hector, and Hector's in a neck brace. Hector says, very, very, you know, calmly, "Orndorff, I'm never going to forget what you've done to me. I came out with good intentions to wrestle you fair and square, and look what happens. You pile drive me twice on the floor." It wasn't on the floor. I just wanted to make note of that. "I've got a family to feed. What you plant, you're going to reap. I don't forget easy. When I come back, I'm coming after you." It was extremely docile. I don't know if it was because they were trying to sell the fact that he couldn't really yell and get animated because of his neck injury, but that was my thoughts on it. What were your thoughts on that promo, Doc?
Meh.
Yeah, it was very docile. I mean, he was like borderline just way too quiet for somebody who would be angry. But again, I thought about it after. He's sitting there in a neck brace, so maybe that's part of how he's selling it, being that he can't really get animated. I don't know. That's just my take on it. We go to Paul Orndorff at a promo, and he is back at the Smoky Mountain desk with Bob Cottle, and Bob Cottle says, "With me now is Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. We're going to talk about what happened last week. You seriously injured Hector Guerrero." Orndorff replies, "Let me tell you something." And this gets good, people, so just wait. Now, it goes a little off. Like, he starts talking about things that you're like, what the hell? Where is he going with that? And it doesn't really make sense, but I thought it was still funny. Orndorff replies and says, "Let me tell you something. Professional wrestling is a tough sport. And if you can't handle the heat, then get out of the kitchen. It's just like a woman. A woman's place is in the house, rattling those pots and pans and cleaning baby's diapers. And I don't care who I step in the ring with. If I have to use that pile driver, That's what I've beaten everybody in the world with, the pile driver, and I'll use the pile driver. I'm at my best at it, and now they want to stop me from using it, but they can do the DDT, and they can use everything else, but Mr. Wonderful can't use the pile driver? I'm going to end a lot of people's careers until it gets somebody's attention. Now, I'm going to stop right here because Bullet Bob comes in, but why did he throw in the thing about a woman's place is in the house rattling the pots and pans and cleaning baby's diapers?
Okay, okay. I want let's move you from Mike over to Menace here from your days in the wrestling business. How many people in the back that you worked with, the old guy, would have said, why is that a heel interview? Women should be in the kitchen and doing the diapers.
I don't know what you're asking, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm saying this, I wonder if 24 years ago, for a guy who was in his 40s, who was in the wrestling business, he might just be shooting on his personal beliefs here.
I think that too, but then I like started to think about it. I'm wondering if he said that because he was saying the pile driver should be as normal as a woman's place in the kitchen, rattling pots and pans and cleaning baby's diapers.
And I'm saying there's a bunch of people in that crowd in the old-fashioned, old-school mentality that wouldn't be a heel promo in that area and with the boys.
Well, that's true, too, because it would be considered normal.
Right.
But women weren't rattling pots and pans in 1992 in kitchens. I mean, by that point, we had got to the point where women were in the workforce.
We're talking about Eastern Tennessee, bro.
That doesn't mean anything. It's America. Why do you shit on this? Never mind. Let's keep it moving. So at this point, after Orndorff cuts his promo, Bullet Bob has had enough, and he comes out in a stylish striped shirt with a dark tie, but there's no pocket protector in the short sleeve dress shirt. Bullet Bob says, "I'm thoroughly disgusted about what you did to Hector and the rest of those boys. Now, you want pile driver legalized? There's no way we're going to legalize the pile driver. You want to know why I don't want it legal? It's because 25 years ago when I first started wrestling, I saw a very young man get pile driven in Georgia. They took him straight to the hospital. He never walked again. He never wrestled again." Meanwhile, best part of these interviews is Orndorff is giving Bullet Bob the what the fuck ever look. His body language, his facial expressions are, "Shut up, you old fucking man. You're a piece of shit, and I'm going to do what I want."
You know what part of it is?
What?
He's got an idea of who Paul Orndorff is and what he's going to say. He's not standing there trying to remember his lines and his script. He's just going to react and get mad off of what's happening and go with it.
That's true. He's reacting organically. I can agree with that. Well, Bullet Bob continues and says, "We're not having that around here. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna be fining you $2,500. Yes, $2,500. The crowd pops when they hear $2,500.
Hey, that's a year's worth of disability checks for these people.
That's a lot of money in 1992.
It's a lot of money now, bro.
I know, I agree, but it's even more.
If we got on the call this morning before we hit record and I said, "Hey, Mike, can I borrow $2,500? What would you say?
You can blow me. It better be a matter of life or death. Let's say that. That's what it's going to have to come down to. So the crowd pops on that. Orndorff laughs at that and says, "You know, good and well, I make $2,500 a minute," as smug as he can be. Orndorff walks off laughing. Bullet Bob keeps yapping and says, "I hope you got a fat checkbook, because every time you use that pile driver, you're going to write another check for $2,500. Now, Doc, before I throw it to you to give you your thoughts on this, so we've gone from $500 to, because it's Orndorff, the habitual offender, $2,500 apiece.
Progressive discipline is what we call it in the corporate world.
Jesus Christ, man. It's like, We're about to pop the territory with 25. Bro, if Orndorff does that, he could run the promotion by himself.
Well, and the one little slight thing that I thought would have been a better ad, but again, Orndorff's not scripted, and he's out there just blowing and going. So I'm pointing things out, but let's give him some leeway here. He said, "I make $2,500 a minute." Nobody makes $2,500 a minute. Let's be clear about that. I would have preferred him say, "I make $2,500 a night," because still would have – nobody makes – in that area, we don't make $2,500 a day. It's still a lot of money. It's unrealistic that $2,500 a minute. So just a slight little nit there. But Orndorff is certainly positioning himself as the main guy that's up against the family-friendly commissioner's office.
Bro, he's a hell of a heel right there. That's all I'm going to say. That was a very good heel promo.
Well, let's go from hell of a heel to Tim Horner.
God damn. Tim Horner.
This is like if you imagine going from Paul Orndorff and Bob Armstrong getting after it with each other to Tim Horner's like, it's like, okay, when you get done listening to us, because I don't want you to be listening to us when you do finish the show, and then go out and get in your car and get on a road and start driving 40 miles an hour. And without any warning or anything else, take your car and slam it into reverse and see what happens.
We go to Tim Horner. It's key to point out that this starts off with Bob Cottle talking about all of the towns that Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be coming to in the next month with some matches that are taking place. And then walks in Tim fucking Horner. Bob Cottle then says, right now, let's talk to White Lightning, Tim Horner. Horner cuts another gem full of boredom and snoozedom and snoozing as he tells Bob Cottle, you know, Bob, the whole Smoky Mountain area is buzzing about the whole show we're having in Knoxville, Tennessee. And that's the Volunteer Slam. You know the Volunteer Slam. It's going to be a one-night tournament. If I'm fortunate enough to advance,
You won't be.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, you won't be.
Doc's joking. He really doesn't remember. If I'm fortunate enough to advance, I'm going to have to wrestle three times, and that's going to be tough on me. But I tell you what, because he likes saying I tell you what, it doesn't matter who it's going to be. I'm coming after that Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship. And you know if I have to go up against Primetime Brian Lee or whoever, and then he pauses as if he's like searching for some audio gold that will never fucking come out.
He got now stuck. You can see the gears turning. He got stuck there.
Now you know. I know if I have to face Primetime Brian Lee, that it's going to have to be a clean match. But I know some of those other guys, if I got to fight tooth and nail, pick up a chair, whatever I got to do, that's what I'm going to do because lightning's going to strike. Jesus
now, hold
Christ.
On. So he's the good guy here, and he's going to get a chair? Okay.
Yeah, I did that too. Jesus Christ, I swear on God's green earth, these Horner promos are becoming a big fucking rib. And I almost wonder if Corny said, yeah, go out there and do it, Tim. The good people need a laugh every week.
I don't. You know, we don't know this for a fact, and it'll be certainly something we want to find out. But I just wonder if it is, the more the thought process from Corny and the guys is, God damn it, we needed his money to help get started, so we got to put him on TV. Otherwise, he's going to be a squeaky wheel. So let's just put him out there and minimize the damage.
Maybe. Primetime Brian Lee comes in and makes a remark about, because again, it's like one of those promos we talked about in the past where they run in one guy and then run in another. So it's not like just a set segment. It's a set segment, but you have multiple promos taking place during these segments. Primetime Brian Lee.
I believe that's a very Memphis Southern way to do promos.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to describe it to people who maybe don't know wrestling from that time period and how it used to work. So, but yeah, you used to see that a lot more. I mean, you saw it in Mid-South too. You saw it a lot of places in the territories. Maybe we're so far removed from it now that it seems very different. But back then it was more normal. So Primetime Brian Lee walks in. And he makes a remark about how the business is business and friendship is friendship. But if he's got to fight Horner, then that's business. This was not the worst Primetime Brian Lee promo. And actually, it was okay. I was fine with it. Him following Horner, though, makes Primetime Brian Lee look like Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1997. Because you're just following the worst. Doc, what were any other thoughts on this before I move on?
I think we should just move on.
Let's keep it moving. So we get to next match, which is Paul Orndorff and Davey Rich. We got Davey Rich in a singles match against Mr. Wonderful. And Orndorff is doing some good healing in the beginning as he sells to the fans that their chants are getting on his nerve. Rich hits an early move on Orndorff and gets his shine on with a hip toss out of the corner on Orndorff and then a drop kick. Did you understand what they were chanting? Because they were chanting something to Orndorff. What were they saying?
Dude, come on.
What?
In the 80s, early 90s, apparently, fans chanted Paula at Paul Orndorff. They were calling him Paula.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
You've been walking around lately touting yourself as a wrestling historian, and this is the shit you come up with? Come on, bro.
I don't tout myself as a wrestling historian. That was something we talked about at work. But anyway.
You were telling me you were going to get business cards made up and start handing it to everybody you meet that said, Mild Mike Mills, wrestling historian.
I did not say that. There's a little back and forth with Dutch and Bob Cottle about these $2,500 fines that Bullet Bob is going to be levying. Dutch Mantel, of course, sides with Orndorff, saying, who does Bullet Bob think he is treating Orndorff like this? This man has beat people all over the world with this move. They start talking about the carnage from all the pile drivers Orndorff handed out. Dutch says, did you see how many men Paul Orndorff laid out? It looked like carnage after a car wreck on Interstate 75. I assume the people in Tennessee could relate to that. Cottle says, I can't believe what happened besides Hector, who is the most seriously injured. Joey Mag's neck is not in very good shape either. Dutch jumps
good,
in
good.
And heelishly says, good, and leaves it at that. Ben Jordan is out 3 to 4 weeks. Dutch
good.
Says, good, good. Reno Riggins is not 100%, even though he's going to try to wrestle later today. We'll get to that. Dutch says he's going to try to wrestle after all of that. Well, he's got more guts than brains is what comes out of Dutch's mouth related to the match that Reno Riggins is going to wrestle. Rich and Orndorff are working a nice match as all this is going on, but Dutch makes a great point here when he says, we're going to have to see what Orndorff does here. See if Orndorff attempts or succeeds in giving Rich another pile driver. Orndorff is a fairly rich man, and he may do it just to make a point, is what Dutch says.
I thought that was a great point. Because it ties in the fact that Orndorff said, I make $2,500 a minute just a minute ago. I'm going to keep pile driving people until I make my point. Dutch drove it home. Good job.
I agree. They briefly talk about how good the Heavenly Bodies looked last week. Orndorff and Rich end up on the outside where Orndorff drops Rich across the barricade on the outside of the ring. With a lull in the action, Dutch is telling us how good Orndorff is. We've heard this before, but he's beat Ric Flair. Dutch says he's beat Hogan. Dutch says he's beat Jumbo Tsaruta. Dutch says he's beaten the top talent all over the world. Rich fights
always,
back.
Always loved it when federations would acknowledge what was going on elsewhere in the world and stuff like that. And I know they don't like doing it because you don't like to talk about the competition, but I always thought that lended a sense of mystery back in the day and all that. Just nice touch.
When you say they don't like doing it, let's be clear. It's WWE who doesn't like doing it. Now, they've loosened the reins a little bit these days in 2016, but it's generally them who doesn't like doing
it. Hey, I didn't get on this call to talk about the WWE. Let's get back to the ring, bro.
Rich fights back in the ring and fires up with some offense with some punches that bump Orndorff, and then he body slams Orndorff. Orndorff shakes Rich off on a go-behind, roll-up, and then Orndorff delivers a clothesline that Rich sells the fuck out of.
Mm-hmm.
Orndorff then panders to the crowd, giving the motion like he's going to pile drive Rich. He's working the crowd here, which is what a great heel does. Cottle says, no, Mr. Wonderful, don't do it.
Do it, do it, do it, do it.
But he doesn't have to. He pins Rich without it off of the clothesline that he just did. Dutch says Mr. Wonderful is still undefeated with that powerful clothesline, which it really did look great. Doc, I need to say something before I throw this at you. This is 1982, and we have a guy winning with a clothesline, which is something we'd probably never see today. But it wasn't that he hit the line. It's just you got to give Rich credit for selling the piss out of it the way he did. Your thoughts on the match overall?
Well, I think, you know, you're more likely today to see the bell ring start the match and a guy run across the ring and clothesline the other guy than you are to see a clothesline in the match. But Rich is a solid guy. You know, we both, he's the one half of the party patrol with his brother. And we weren't too familiar with him, although I know that I've done some more reading. We were in WCW for a while. He's a solid guy. I just think he looks like a guy who has a full-time job too, and so he probably didn't have that. He looked like he could probably be like an aluminum siding salesman or, you know, that kind of thing. So he's a good man. He sold the hell out of that clothesline. He bumped around for Orndorff, got some fire. I mean, he made Orndorff look great there too. So where we are, we're advancing the storylines to the Volunteer Slam. I like
That's
it.
Right. So then we go to Mr. Ron Wright, one of our I would say he's the star of Smoky Mountain Wrestling at this point.
And let me just say this before you start, because I know there's a lot of good content here. But I made a note about what Ron Wright's wearing. He's wearing this kind of denim shirt with brown overlay flourishes. I don't know how to describe it. Watch the damn show with us, and you'll see. But my note was, if you grew up in the South in the 70s and 80s, your grandpa had that shirt or something close to it. And he had his box. He had his box of cigarettes in the front pocket and maybe a pen in case he had to take some notes. And later on, as you got older and he got older, that's where his reading glasses went too, in that front pocket. But he had your grandpa had a shirt or something close to it. You remember it.
I do. Well, so we go to the promo. Bob Cottle's at the desk with Ron Wright, who's without the Dirty White Boy. Cottle says, I'm here with Mr. Ron Wright and his boy, the Dirty White Boy. But like I said, he's not actually standing there. And I know he's out there doing some good things for you. Talking about the Dirty White Boy is Bob Cottle. Ron Wright says, that man, I've got him out there training, running up and down these alleys and all these dirty roughneck towns in the alley street fighting the way I was brought up. He's learning it from the ground up. That's the reason I don't have him up here tonight. And let me tell you, he was out there last week and they sicked a couple of German police dogs on him. And the man bit one of them and one of the dogs, and they found out that the dog had got the rabies. Now we've got a VCR. Let's turn it on and watch this VCR.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. So if you're going to go so far as to say the rabies, I guarantee you that before he passed away, Ron Wright referred to diabetes as the sugars.
Maybe.
Because that's another thing in the South. If you're not listening to us, If you don't live in the South and you're listening to us from other parts of the country, diabetes is often referred to in the South by both African American and white people as the sugar. Or the sugars. Am I right about that?
I don't remember, but okay. I'll take your word on it.
Now,
bro, he said they sicked a couple of German police dogs on him, and the man he's talking about, Dirty White Boy, bit one of them, and one of the dogs they found out got the rabies. He gave rabies to the dog.
Right. Interesting visual. Okay. Now, he also says, we've got a VCR. Let's turn it on and watch the VCR. What are the chances that Ron Wright knew what VCR was in 1992? Or that he knew what the letters VCR stood for, or that he had ever used one?
I'd say they're pretty good. I mean, he was in a wrestling business. They know what they were. You're not giving Ron Wright enough credit here.
No. And I say this almost as a compliment. I see Ron Wright as being a wrestling savant. Like, he lives in a cabin without electricity or running water, and he's just up there in the hills of Tennessee alone, and somebody goes up to property to fetch him when it's time to come cut promos, and on the ride down they fill him in on what's going on in the territory, and he's like, all right, I got it, let's do it. And he just sits in his cabin whittling wood statues waiting for somebody to come get him to cut promo people. That's what I believe.
I don't agree with that, but this segment does get better even after he talks about the dog getting the rabies. They turn on the VCR and go to it. They simply show a recap of the Dirty White Boy defeating Paul Miller from a previous episode with the part of the match that we made fun of with Ron Wright having the blanket over his legs during the match and Dirty White Boy putting the Bucksnort Blaster on Miller for the win. We go back to the desk after this VCR tape is played, where Ron Wright and Cottle are now finishing their discussion. Cottle says, I tell you what, Ron Wright, you just glow when you see this man in action. Ron Wright says, let me tell you something. I glow when I see what he does. I glow when I see him out there in the alley doing what I used to do when I got my training as a back alley brawler. Let me tell you, these people have messed around here. These fans have insulted me. When they didn't send it in, the money he's talking about.
What's it?
When they didn't send it in, let me tell you, come to Volunteer Slam, come May 22nd, the Dirty White Boy is going to be turned loose. There's not going to be a man or a wrestler in the world that's going to stop him. And I pity all the wrestlers that he has to go up against him and all the fans for not helping me out.
Okay, hold on. He said, I pity all the wrestlers that has to go up. You said that all the wrestlers that has to go up against him. He didn't say against. He said again. Okay. Again him.
The end of this segment is magical. When Bob Cottle is wrapping the segment up, we see Ron Wright take his right hand and hold his chest like he's Fred fucking Sanford about to meet Elizabeth. Oh, this was so great. Ron Wright.
I popped because this was before before we got we kind of Mike watched ahead a couple weeks ago, and he gave me a thing. He goes, "Man, the run right on episode 12 is just fantastic." So, man, I can't remember which one that is. So I was like, "Fuck, I gotta fire it up." So I fired up, and he was like, "Yeah, he says this and this and this and this," and I'm like, "All right." And I'm like, "Yeah, but did you notice he did the Fred Sanford at the end?" And I mean, it was just we were both like, saying this. We find ourselves talking more about Smoky Mountain Wrestling and all this great stuff that we see while we're texting back and forth than we ever do this bullshit today. Just I'm just having fun. That's all. I just you know,
it was mad. Fun. It was Ron Wright, and it was more magic. So we go to the next segment. Corny and the Heavenly Bodies are out there. They are on the set and they're panning as like the interview hasn't started yet, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And Cornette's yelling, "Oh, shut up, you
redneck." They're still walking into the shot and getting right. Set up for their interview. And he's already starting to jump the crowd.
Right. Cornette then says, "Before we address what Davis and Mags had to say, let's roll the tape and see it, everyone." Davis says, "No one gave us a chance against the Koloffs, and look what happened." He's kind of got a point there. "No one is giving us a chance against the Heavenly Bodies, but you never know." He then gives the mic to Joey Maggs. Maggs says, "You know, my neck is not 100%. Remember, he was one of the guys Wondorf gave a pile driver to. But an opponent like this doesn't come along often." He's got a point.
I believe it's an opportunity like this doesn't come along very often.
Opportunity.
And
right.
I believe it's the only Joey Maggs interview I've ever seen.
Maybe for me, too. I don't remember him interviewing any other time. "I'm going to wrestle, and we're going to win. Nothing will stop us from getting those Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag titles." Nitro Danny Davis recaps it and says, "That's right. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. Smoky Mountain is coming, so be there." I'll stop right here because I thought those two guys did a really good job during this promo of just cutting a nice short promo as baby faces, saying that they're happy for the opportunity.
Well, they get out business. There and they get their message in and don't ramble on like Tim Horner does.
Right.
Those two guys, look, Danny Davis and Joey Maggs are not Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. But that doesn't mean they can't cut an effective promo if you just keep it short and get in and get out.
Very true. And again, they did a good job. Maggs especially, he was short to the point. Davis was short to the point. He looks at the camera and says, "Nothing's going to stop us. Be there while we go for those Smoky Mountain Wrestling titles."
Now, let's turn our attention from just basically getting it done to excelling in doing real good work on the mic.
We cut back to the desk where Cornette starts in on the women in the building and says, "Every woman in this building realizes this is the hottest thing going today in sports." Nitro, Danny Davis, and Mags. "Mags, if you think your neck hurts now, it's going to look like a rubber band come next week when we get finished stretching you out and that little munchkin." Danny Davis on our march to the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championships. "The Gangsta of Love and the Doctor of Desire are going to wear the gold around their waist. Tell them, Stan." Stan Lane.
He says, "Tell them, Stanfield," because Stanfield is his real first name.
Okay, I'm sorry. At Fake Stan Lane, my apologies. Didn't mean to mess that up.
There you go, buddy.
Stan Lane says, "I want to talk about something important today that is of the utmost importance to the Heavenly Bodies. No, I'm not talking about the tag tournament. I'm not talking about wrestling rankings. I'm talking about something that's very, very important to us. I'm talking about sexual harassment." Let me tell you something. These poor, deprived, fat, corn-fed women, ever since the Heavenly Bodies came to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, they've been groping, they've been pawing at us in a sexual way, and we're sick of it. I'm going to notify the authorities, I've already talked to Commissioner Armstrong, and we're going to put a stop to this. You keep your nasty, greasy, sweaty, fat paws off the Heavenly Bodies, or I'm going to have to contact the authorities and have something done about it. Cornette then chimes in and says, "That's exactly right. We will press some charges, but more important, we're going to press Danny Davis and Joey Maggs next week and press and press and press our way through the tournament. We're also going to have some new belts made because the ones they have now don't look good enough for the Heavenly Bodies." They exit the desk area. This was fucking tremendous.
Oh yeah. And the thing, on top of the fact that, I mean, first of all, they're the stars here too. In a different way, in a modern way than Ron Wright, which is funny to say that about these guys. But one thing I noticed here is that in their promo time last episode, Tom, the doctor of desire, or the gangster of love, the doctor of desire. I mean, Tom Pritchard cut the promo with Corny. This time it was Stan Lane. Here's the thing. They can all talk, and they didn't all have to talk. So they're so versatile. I mean, Corny's always going to talk when he's out there, but you've got three guys who can all talk. They don't all have to talk each time. Just really, really opens up the opportunity and possibilities of what they can do when they're out there, maximize their time.
Yeah, I totally agree. You don't, and then because you got two talkers, you're not like, I guess, over, I don't say oversaturating or overusing one guy. So
yeah,
it that in itself, you have all these guys who can talk, so you never get tired of hearing one over the other. It's great. Again, Stan Lane said not one word last time, so that was the beauty of it. Anything else before I move to the next segment?
Nah, bruh.
This was a long episode to me, so we got a lot going on. But we got Nature Boy Buddy Landell.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know how old Buddy Landell is here?
I have no idea.
Buddy's 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
That dude's 10 years. As of next week, that dude's 11 years younger than me. Wow. That's so amazing when you think about it. I mean, that's like, he's in his prime right there. Or should be, I should say.
Right.
Wow. Interesting. Nature, it's Buddy Landell's debut, and this motherfucker comes out to I'm Too Sexy, the song. Doc, maybe I didn't pay much attention to Landell in the past, but that opening sequence where Riggins fires up on Buddy as Buddy is selling Riggins' punches, and then when Riggins shoots off Buddy into the corner and delivers an elbow and Buddy face bumps out of the corner, Doc, who does Buddy look like?
Well, he's doing obviously Buddy is the Nature Boy, and he's doing almost 100%. I mean, to the point where I'm surprised he didn't come out with Rick's music. I was shocked that it was I'm Too Sexy. He's doing Rick 100%, and here's the thing. He didn't have to. Buddy was super duper talented. He was really good in the ring. He was good on the stick. I don't understand why he had to copy a guy when he probably would have had a very interesting and good approach of his own. So I don't know. And here's the other thing I'm going to tell you. There's a guy who comes on in the next few months that's also doing a Ric Flair. He's an independent guy, I think, or a lower card guy. So
yeah. But still, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I got you. But it just, I don't know. Buddy was talented, man. Buddy was talented. And he's a good fit in Smoky Mountain. So we go back to the match. Riggins is still getting some offense in, and Cottle starts again with, where was Carl Stiles? To which Dutch says, will you get off of it? It don't matter where he was. He wasn't here. I mean, am I Bill Clinton or something? Doc, do you want to tell the good American voters, as we record this before, but by the time this airs, we'll know who our next president would be, but we're recording this on November 4th before the presidential election ends. But you want to tell the good American voters what this was about related to the Bill Clinton comment before I continue?
Well, I don't know, because at this point, he had been president for 3 months. I'm not exactly sure what – I mean, you think about the scandals and the Chronicle. That years after this.
That's true.
So I wasn't really sure what they meant by this. I was wondering because we had heard from Brian Last that Cottle was actually worked for some Republican politicians in the South. I was just wondering if that was Dutch kind of giving him an inside jab at being a Republican at the time. I don't know.
That could have been it, now that you say that. That's a good point. Going back to it, Riggins stays on the offense until they go to the outside when Riggins clotheslines Landell over the top rope. I guess that wasn't a DQ because the match continues, even though they went over. Landell turns the match around when he sends Riggins into the ring post outside and then delivers a solid chop to Riggins while on the outside still.
Woo!
Man, that was a hell of a chop. Once Landell gets control, he starts doing some nice old school healing on Riggins. Riggins gets a nice hope spot where he reverses Landell into the corner. Where Landell comes out, Riggins hip tosses Landell, but then when Riggins goes for the drop kick, Landell sideswipes it as Riggins misses and takes the face bump. As Landell is healing, Dutch says, a lot of people don't know this is Buddy Landell. This Buddy Landell was a world heavyweight champion because he beat Ric Flair in Raleigh, North Carolina. Dutch continues and says he was the champion for 15 minutes, but he got caught up in the political system and they took it away from him. As this is happening, Landell does another Flair bump where he comes off the top rope as the opponent tosses him. I mean, just like Flair. And soon after, Landell takes back control, puts Riggins in the figure four. Riggins submits. I should say he set up the figure four with a corkscrew elbow also, and then the submission with the figure four. 5 minutes and 8 seconds, Buddy Landell defeats Reno Riggins. Any thoughts, Doc, before I continue?
Yeah, I had a couple. I thought it was funny. Dutch is talking about, you know, he beat Rick. It's in 1992, Rick is in the WWE. But I have a feeling that in the Southeast United States in 1992, Ric Flair is still considered the world champ.
You got to remember.
That name carries a lot of weight in that area in that time still.
Yeah, Rick was world champ for so long. I think one of his reigns was 700 days. I could be wrong about that. But Rick was world champ for so long that you got to think that in your mind, I know in my mind as a kid, no matter who had won the belt or if the NWA title had changed hands, you still saw Rick as world champion. Like, that was the image of the world champion.
He was the prototype. He was the mental model of the world champion, yeah. Ric Flair, and it was still the case. The other thing I thought was pretty cool is that they had the camera. Buddy, the cameras were. So while he's got the figure four on, he's preening for the camera with the figure four on. So while he's submitting the guy, he's talking to the camera and smiling at the camera.
Very much so. It was actually kind of funny when you think about it. The way he's doing it, it was pretty damn funny. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I just pulled it up as we were talking. So Flair's first title reign, according to Wikipedia, 631 days. It started in 1981. Unless I'm not looking at the right thing. But anyway, I mean, so Flair had some long title reign. He had one that was 793 days. That's the one I was thinking of. Another 400 days, couple of 400 days. So Flair held that belt. You start adding those days up throughout the 80s, you start, think about that. I mean, you start having where he's had the belt for years on end. So he is the model of the world champion.
Well, and he's the best wrestler of the 80s. And as we did a while back, a few weeks back, he's also the fifth best wrestler of the 90s.
I don't know about best, but he was really good. We then go to Buddy Landell. Cottle welcomes him to the desk after his match and says, "Buddy, you received a bye in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Volunteer Slam Heavyweight Tournament." Landell says, "You see right there why I got the bye? No one, including Paul Orndorff, to sweet stand. Nobody wants to wrestle Nature Boy Buddy Landell because I'm just way too good. That's why I'm at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. May 22nd, Volunteer Slam, Knoxville, Tennessee. Nature Boy Buddy Landell is going to be walking out with the belt." Cottle says, "Congrats to you on the win," but Landell has to get in one more word and says, "I just want to tell all those pig farmers out there to smarten up. Got it?" That was really strange at the end of that promo.
Yeah. Not one of Landell's best. He said Stan Lane's not in the tournament. You know, I don't know, but trust me, this isn't one of his best, but
it gets better.
It gets better, and years from now, he cuts one of the – in 1995, so we're three and a half years out, he cuts one of the best promos I've ever seen. So no shade on Bud, but this wasn't one of his best.
No, not at all. We then go to a promo with recapping the Volunteer Slam wild card eliminations. We got Brian Lee beat Dutch Mantel, so he's in the tournament. Orndorff beat Hector, so he's in the tournament. And today's matchup and coming up shortly is Dixie Dynamite versus Carl Styles to see who advances. But then they show Landell is getting a bye and already in, which I guess I'm fine with, so whatever.
We go to Buddy had his debut match and he's already bye. That didn't it's Well, never mind. Continue.
Yeah, you can't. Let me say this. Don't try to make sense of how they seeded this tournament. Because in some instances, it makes sense. Like Gibson, I guess it makes sense. Like for some people in the tournament that end up with a bye, it makes sense. But then others, it doesn't make much sense at all. Like you're like, why did they do what they did? Like, and in the model of it is Landell because he just came in. After cutting a promo in like episode one or two or three, I can't remember because it's been so long on the episodes. And now he all of a sudden shows up. This is episode 12, 2.5 months later. He's cutting a promo. He's now in the tournament after one win. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, I mean,
well,
and
they show
I'm not going to let that bother me.
They talk about that and they show a bracket during the next match and Gibson and Golden aren't on there. And Again, we've got Scott Anthony being replaced with Styles, and so there's a couple of holes in that, but whatever. I'm good.
Yeah, we're being picky here. It's not that big of a deal, to be honest with you. But anyway, now they'd rip WWE a new one if they did that on today's TV, but whatever. Dixie Dynamite against Carl Styles. From the heart of the Confederacy, we get Dixie Dynamite. Styles attempts to get the upper hand as the match starts as he's clubbing Dixie and getting in some offense. Dutch emphatically says, after each nice move or punch or club, as Styles likes to club people, it seems. I taught him that. Dutch, every time Carl Styles is on offense and doing something good, he says, I taught him that. But then Dixie gets the upper hand and Cottle starts messing with Dutch, saying, did you teach him that? Did you teach Carl Styles that? To which Dutch says, no, what a knucklehead. Dutch says, what I taught him, he does well. Styles gets back. They're on the outside right now. Styles gets back into the ring. Dixie gets tons of offense on him at this point, to which Dutch calls him an imbecile, an idiot, and then says, what's the lowest you can go on a scale of idiot? Is it imbecile?
It's Mike Mills.
Cottle then starts in again with asking Dutch, where was Styles when Styles was missing in action? Cottle says, you're going to keep ignoring me about Styles. Dutch says, he probably was drunk. I don't know. He suffers from delusions, Bob Cottle. Styles then gets back to the ring and is back in on offense and bumps Dixie a few times. Styles hits Dixie with a slam. This is weird, because then Dutch goes down to ringside to give Styles some, I guess, personal instruction during the match. And Dutch is up on the ring apron trying to give Styles directions. But when Styles turns his back on Dixie Dynamite, who is presently laying on his back on the ground, Styles is getting directions from Dutch. Dixie gets up, and as soon as Styles turns around, Dixie hits Styles with the Confederate kick and gets the pin on Styles. Doc, I'll throw it at you. This was very strange. I guess it's just their way of trying to progress the storyline with Dutch and Carl Styles.
Well, the first thing I have here is that the people are way too comfortable cheering that Dixie Dynamite gimmick, but whatever.
They are cheering him.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, every third guy in the booth is there to get involved with the WWE. So I don't know. They're trying to get this. My sense of it, and I could be wrong, obviously, probably not, is that they realize that this Dutch and Styles angle isn't really catching the imagination of the fans. And they're trying to, let's go ahead and advance this thing to the end.
I guess. I mean, I've been mildly entertained by this back and forth with these two.
Way more than me.
Where was Styles? I think Bob Cottle is a straight man. Dutch is the heel. I like.
You were in my office the other day begging me to tell you where he actually was. I was like, man, I don't know. I don't remember. It's not that big a deal. Get out.
We then go to a promo with Styles and Dutch, and Cottle says, Dutch, what happened? Styles was doing great without you. And what did you do, Dutch? Dutch starts ripping Styles, calling him a moron and an idiot, and that he's stupid. And how am I supposed to tell you what to do, Styles? If you don't listen, you're never going to be champion. This was after the match. Again, it's leading somewhere, but no spoilers, just for the time being. Doc, you got anything before I move to the next promo?
Nah.
Okay. So we got another promo with Bob Cottle, and then Ron Wright is in here as well. And this is, they're plugging the towns again. Cottle's plugging where Smoky Mountain's going to be with the big volunteer slam coming, and it's a repeat promo. Cottle welcomes in Ron Wright and Ron Wright says, let me tell you something. It's going to be one of the greatest nights in history. Ron Wright repeats that he's so down and out because these no-good fans haven't sent in any money for his hip implant and heart surgery. Now, side note, Doc, I noticed Ron Wright has dropped the knee implant at this point. Maybe he brings it up again. Ron Wright says, I got the dirty white boy out in training, but this time he says the dirty white boy is out kicking teeth, fighting dogs, and he's ready for the volunteer slam. People better back up because he's ready.
Now, Jimmy, okay, so hold on. When Ron Wright says dirty white boy's out kicking teeth out and fighting dogs, in the background kicking teeth out popped Jimmy Colton. He started laughing.
Jimmy Golden, he did. He starts chuckling. Jimmy Golden is on set, and Golden tells Ron Wright, don't you worry, I'm going to give you a donation, brother.
Okay, hold on. You think Jimmy Golden made good on that promise?
Probably not.
Right.
Jimmy Golden is another unheralded star to me in this promotion at this point. Then Jimmy Golden says, if the white boy don't win it, don't you worry. Jimmy Golden is going to win the Volunteer Slam. Golden then says, let me tell you something, Robert Gibson. You run in your mouth, you better bring something more than Ajax with you when you step in the ring with Jimmy Golden.
Now, I told you that's what he said a while back.
Now, most may not remember that Gibson told Golden the last time he had a promo, last time Gibson cut a promo, that Gibson was going to put something on Golden that not even Ajax would wash off, hence the Ajax reference from Jimmy Golden.
You told me I was wrong then, but see?
I just said Robert Gibson had a fucking mouthful of marbles and I couldn't understand him. Primetime Brian Lee and the Fultons, a.k.a. the Fantastics, come in for a promo. We cut to a second one. And we got mullet mania alert here. There's a lot of fluffy mullets in this one. And these guys are all just promoting the Volunteer Slam, and there's nothing more to it. Cottle closes out the episode and says, and lets us know that next week we've got Jim Cornette's Heavenly Bodies versus Davis and Mags in the tag team tournament in the semifinals. All right, Doc, let's hand out some disability checks. What you got?
Well, we've got a good appearance by Orndorff. We've got Buddy Lindell's in-ring debut in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We got the Heavenly Bodies cutting one hell of a promo. We got Ron Wright out twice to cut promos. Real good episode. I think you're right. This was north of 50 minutes, I think. Full episode. Lots going on. Lots of promos. Lots of matches. Things are getting advanced. Doc is happy with this. Doc is going to give it 6.75 disability checks.
Yeah, I'm giving it 7 disability checks.
Don't spend all those checks in one place, people.
I thought it was really good. This was a really good episode. Just with the promos, the Orndorff promo. Think about it. You had Orndorff. You had that Orndorff promo. You had that great Ron Wright promo. You had Landell making his debut. It was just a solid card, man. I really appreciated it, and it did a lot more for me than most Monday nights do. So. Anyway, Doc, that's what I got, man. Anything else you want to add before I get to some plugs and throw it over to the promos of the week?
No.
Okay, I was going to say I'll take that as a no. First-time listeners, subscribe to us, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and please throw us a couple of 5-star reviews on iTunes. We'd appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter. We're at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. We'd appreciate it if you would give us a follow. And then like us on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. You can also get a Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast t-shirt on our Facebook page if you just click the Shop Now button. So again, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the Shop Now button, and you can get your very own Smoky Mountain t-shirt.
Hey, nothing will make that girl at the office who looks at you funny want to take off your Cheeto-encrusted sweatpants and get down in more than a Smoky Mountain Wrestling t-shirt.
God, shut up. You can also donate to the show. All of the links I'm mentioning are in the show notes, but you can also find them on mikemills.podbean.com. So first, PayPal in the show notes or on mikemills.podbean.com. Please, if you can donate to the show, we'd appreciate it, a buck or two. But if you don't want to give to the show that way, one of the best ways is also using our Amazon referral link. Again, go to mikemills.podbean.com. Amazon referral link at the very top of the page. We get a little bit of kickback in return from them if you use that link, and we'd appreciate it. So that's all I got, Doc. You ready to throw it over to the promos from this week?
Let's hear the good stars of Smoky Mountain. Talk them and build them, brother.
Yeah, and there's some really good ones on this one. So for Mike and Doc, you know what we always say before we throw it over to the promos of the week from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Book it, bitch.
Paul Orndorff, I'm never going to forget what you've done to me. You know, I came out with a good intention to wrestle you fair and square, and look what happens. You power drive me twice. It's okay, on the floor. You know, I got a family to feed, just like you got. You remember that. What you plant, you're gonna reap. You know, I don't forget easy. And I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm after you.
All right, fans, with me right now here ringside, Mr. Wonderful himself, and we want to talk about what happened last week. Not only Hector Guerrero, but 4 or 5 other guys in the ring. You really seriously injured Guerrero.
Well, let me tell you something. Professional wrestling is a tough sport. And if you can't handle the heat, then get out of the kitchen. It's just like a woman. A woman's place is in the house, rattling those pots and pans and cleaning baby's diapers. And I don't care who I step into the ring with, if I gotta use that pile driver, that's why I've beaten everybody in the world with that pile driver. I am the best at it. And now they want to stop me from using it.
Yeah.
But no, but they can use a DDT and they can use everything else. But Mr. Wonderful can't use his pile driver. Well, let me tell you something, Bob. I'm going to end a lot of people's career until somebody gets my attention.
Wait, here's the commissioner, Bud Arnold.
What are you doing out here?
I'd just like to say this to you, Mr. Orndorff. I'm thoroughly disgusted about what you did to Hector Guerrero and the rest of those boys. Now, you want the pile driver legalized? I'm here to tell you right now, there's no way we're going to legalize the pile driver. And you want to know why I don't want it legal? Because 25 years ago, when I started wrestling, I saw a very young man get pile drived in Griffin, Georgia. They took him straight to the hospital. He never walked again, never wrestled again. Are you proud of that fact? Now, we're not going to have that happen around here. And you want to know the reason why? Because I'm fining you right now $2,500. $2,500.
What do you have to say about that, Mr. Wonderful?
Mr. Armstrong, you know good and well that I make $2,500 a minute.
Well, let me just say this to you, brother. I hope you got a fat checkbook, because every time you use that pile driver, you go write another check for $2,500.
Fans, we'll be back to catch Fox 43 Smoky Mountain Wrestling in just a moment. First, we got some great news for all you wrestling fans. On Thursday, April 23rd, Harrogate, Tennessee, Lincoln Memorial University, a great night of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Brian Lee will be there to take on the Dirty White Boy. Also appearing will be the Fantastics, Jim Cornette's new team. Doug Furness will also be there. We'll have an 18-man Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal. Bell time there will be at 7 p.m. An outstanding night is coming up for all the wrestling fans around this area on Friday, May 22nd in Knoxville at the Coliseum, the Volunteer Slam. And fans, this is one night, a one-night tournament for the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight title. Also, the finals of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Title Tournament also will be held on that night. Catch Fox 43 night. Children under 12 will be admitted 43 cents with a paid adult. Knox the Fox will be there to give free photos to the first 1,000 kids to appear. And we'll be telling you more about that later. Right now, let's talk to White Lightning Tim Horner. Tim, that's going to be a great couple of nights.
You know, Bob, the whole Smoky Mountain wrestling area is buzzing about the big show we're having in Knoxville, Tennessee. And that's the Volunteer Slam. You know, the Volunteer Slam, there's going to be a one-night tournament.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I know if I'm fortunate enough to advance, I'm going to have to wrestle three times. You know, and that's going to be tough on me. But I tell you what, it doesn't matter who it's going to be. I'm coming after that Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship. You know, I know, you know, if I have to go up against Brian Lee or whoever, I know if I have to face Brian Lee that it's going to be a clean match.
Yes, sir.
But I know some of those other guys, if I have to get in there and fight tooth and nail, pick up a chair or whatever I got to do, that's what I'm going to do, because lightning's going to strike.
All right, you're talking about Brian Lee. That's Let's bring Brian Lee in. Brian,
good luck, Brian.
I tell you, you got a lot of expectations for that night.
Exactly right. Knoxville Heavyweight Tournament. You know, the gold means all. If I have to fight Tim Horner, you know, friendship's friendship, but business is business. And when it comes to business, this is my business. Wrestling's number one to me. It's not a weekly thing. It's my living, and I will be in Knoxville and win the belt.
Let's go now to Bob standing by with my good friend, Mr. Ron Wright.
All right, and we are, Dutch, right here with Mr. Ron Wright and his boy, the Dirty White Boy. And, Ron, I know that you say that guy is really out doing some great things for you.
Yes, he is. Listen, that man, I've got him out training. He's running up and down these alleys and all of these dirty, roughneck towns and the alley street fighting. That was the way I was brought up, and he's learning it from the ground up. That's the reason I've not got him up here tonight. And let me tell you, he was out there last week, and they sicked a couple of German police dogs on him, and the man bit one of the dogs, and the dogs wound up and got the rabies. Now, they've got a VCR.
Yeah,
let's turn it on here and watch this VCR.
All right, let's see him in action.
Watch this man in action here.
Well,
and he may really...
I hope he doesn't catch a cold over there, because, you know, sometimes chills come in these big arenas, and he can catch a chill, and, you know, when you get an infirmity like he has, you know, he could get real sick.
He's got a blanket around those legs. Look at the white boy now. Is he just going to lift Miller up in the air? Boy, he powered him to the mat that time. Got all of his weight right in on it and just drove him to the mat hard. The guy will stay right on top of you.
Whoa.
Lifted him up by the throat that time, Dutch, and slammed him to the mat. That's the Buck Snort Blaster, by golly. The winner, the Dirty White Boy. All right, fans, a dirty white boy right there in action, Ron. And I tell you, you just sort of glow when you see what that man does.
Let me tell you, I glow when I see what he does. I glow when I see him out there in the alley doing what I used to do when I got my training as a back alley brawler. Let me tell you, these people has messed us around up here. These fans insulted me when they didn't send it in. And let me tell you, come the big volunteer slam, Knoxville, Tennessee, May the 22nd, the dirty white boy's going to be turned loose. There's not going to be a man or nobody in the world that can stop him. And I pity all of the wrestlers that has to go up against him, and all of the fans, too, for insulting me and not helping me the way they should, Bob.
All right, fans, there you have it for Mr. Ron Wright about the dirty white boy. We'll be back. We're going to have more action, fans, right after we take this break. Fans, what a successful debut last week for Jim Cornette and his heavenly bodies.
You know, I understand you got a little VTR, a little tape of Danny Davis and Joey Maggs. Before we make any comments, I want to see what those two punks have to say about our match next week.
All right, let's watch it, fans, right here.
You know, nobody gave us a chance to get the Koloffs, but look what happened. Well, deja vu. Nobody may give us a chance against the heavenly bodies, but you never know. Nitro and Joey Maggs will come out on top.
You know, Danny, my neck might not be 100%, but an opportunity like this doesn't come along very often. I don't care what we've got to do. I'm going to wrestle, and we're going to win. Nothing's going to stop us from becoming the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
That's exactly right. We're going to be there, so all the wrestling fans, look for it. Smoky Mountain Wrestling coming to you.
All right. Yeah, hey, they're great. I mean, they look tremendous in there, Jim.
Let me tell you something. As every woman in this building fully well realizes, this is the hottest thing going in sports today, brother. And Danny Davis, and especially you, Joey Maggs, you think your neck hurts now? It's going to look like a rubber band after next week when we get finished stretching you and that little munchkin Danny Davis on our march to the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championship. The Gangster of Love and the Doctor of Desire, Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, the Heavenly Bodies, are going to wear the gold around their waist. Right, Stanfield?
I want to talk about something today that's of utmost importance to the Heavenly Bodies. No, I'm not talking about tag team tournaments. I'm not talking about wrestling rankings. I'm talking about something that's very, very important to us. I'm talking sexual harassment.
That's right.
Wow. Let me tell you something. These poor, deprived, fat, corn-fed women, ever since the Heavenly Bodies have come to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, have been groping, have been pawing at us in a sexual way, and we're sick of it. I'm going to notify the authorities. I've already talked to Commissioner Bob Armstrong, and we're going to put a stop to this. You keep your nasty, greasy, sweaty, fat palms off the Heavenly Bodies, or I'm going to have to contact the authorities and have something done about it.
That's exactly right. We will press some charges, but what's more important, we're going to press Danny Davis and Joey Maggs next week, and then we're going to press and press and press till we go to the Volunteer Slam, May 22nd, the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, where that gold, as a matter of fact, we're going to have new belts made because the belts don't look good enough for these Heavenly Bodies. Let's get out of here, guys.
Yes, sirree, fans. His debut was a good one for this man right here.
He just said something about my mama. I had to go stomp him again.
No, buddy, look. You receive a bye right into the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Tournament in Knoxville on May the 22nd. What about that?
You see right now why I got the bye, because nobody from Paul Orndorff, the Sweet Stand, and nobody wants to wrestle the Nature Boy, Buddy Landell, because I'm way too good. That's why I'm at Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling. You got it? May the 22nd, Volunteer Slam, Knoxville, Tennessee. Nature Boy Buddy Landell's going to be walking out with a belt.
Hey, did you go like you did, and that was a great debut. Congratulations to you, Nature Boy Buddy Landell.
I was one of those pig farmers out there, the smart nut. Got it?
We'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this brief timeout. Fans, we'll be back to catch Fox 43 Smoky Mountain Wrestling in just a moment. First, we want to tell you about some great Smoky Mountain Wrestling events coming up. Thursday, April 23rd, Harrogate, Tennessee, Lincoln Memorial University. What a great night of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You'll see Brian Lee as he takes on the Dirty White Boy. The Fantastics will be there. Jim Cornette and his new tag team will also be there. Doug Furness will appear, and we'll have an 18-man Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal. Bell time is at 7 p.m. Now, on Friday, May 22nd, in Knoxville at the Coliseum, the Volunteer Slam. And fans, this is a one-night tournament for the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. The finals of the Smoky Mountain tag title tournament will also be held that night, and Catch Fox 43 night will also be in Knoxville. Children under 12, 43 cents with a paid adult. Knox the Fox will be there to give free photos to the first 1,000 kids to come. It's first come, you get those photos. And hey, it's going to be a great night, a great couple of nights for two guys right here. Ron Wright, the Dirty White Boy, will be there.
Let me tell you something. It's going to be one of the greatest nights in history. And I'm kind of down and out and disgusted because all of these people out here didn't send in their donations to help poor old Ron Wright get his open heart surgery and have a hip implant. But let me tell them people something. I've got the Dirty White Boy out now in training, out in the back alley, walking the streets, kicking people's teeth out, biting dogs, whatever he's got to do. I've got that man charged up, and he's ready. When he gets in here in this Volunteer Slam, people better back up, look out, and pay attention to Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy.
What about Jim Golden, Jimmy?
Good man, Ron Wright. Sir. I'm going to send you a donation, brother. You just hang on in there.
Appreciate
White
it,
Boy's going to win it. If Appreciate he don't, Jimmy Golden's going to win it, the 22nd Volunteer Slam. I'm going to tell you something, Robert Gibson, you run in your mouth. You better bring more than Ajax with you, sonny boy, when you step in the ring with Jimmy Golden.
Fans, that's going to be on May 22nd, Knoxville Coliseum. What a night. The Knoxville Slam. Don't miss it. It's a great night of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. May 22nd, fans, Knoxville, Tennessee, Volunteer Grand Slam. Brian Lee, you're ready.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm gearing up. I'm counting down the days. May 22nd, primetime Brian Lee will be stepping in the ring against seven other opponents. I don't know who it is, but I'm fired up. Fantastic. You're fired up, and we're coming at you, Knoxville.
All right. What
you know,
about
I want to tell you, Bob, you get so excited when you start thinking about that hard, long road to Knoxville. I know there's a lot of great teams gunning for the Smoky Mountain Tag Team titles, but I guarantee one thing. If all these great people out here, and they're great, get behind the Fantastics, we can plan on being there May the 22nd. I don't care if it's the Maulers. I don't care if it's Coronet and his team, the Heavenly Bodies. I just want you to say one thing. We plan on being in there and standing tall, and we plan on coming out with the titles.